Changed by Love is the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel, Morris Hills, located in Dover, New Jersey. Our desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application for our lives. With that in mind,
means resting in God, not just saying you are. Sometimes you hear people say, well, you just need to trust the Lord in this. And they're like, I am. That's not very convincing. That's not very convincing. No. It's actually resting in Him, not saying that you do, not acting like you do, but actually trusting Him in the midst of your difficulty.
Psalm 91 is written to people of faith living in a dangerous world. In Psalm 91, you're encouraged to stay close to the Lord at all times, including when you have no idea what's going on. The odd thing about this psalm is that although it was written hundreds of years before Jesus came to earth, Satan quoted it to Jesus. Satan wanted Jesus and us to think that we're safe no matter what we do, but Jesus wants us to know that we should act responsibly and not believe false promises that God did not make. We need to follow God's will at all times. To learn more, let's join Pastor Jim in part two of his message, Safe in God's Love.
God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ and entered into our difficulties, entered into our troubles, entered into our pain and our sorrow, and had plenty of his own. In verse 4, we see the protection of the Lord is personal, like a mama bird. Also powerful, like a warrior with a shield. In other words, the Bible writer wants us to understand that the people of God should never think that our Heavenly Father is not watching us and can't defend us. A couple examples, one from the Old New Testament, one from the Old. New Testament, Jesus, Matthew 23:37. He's outside Jerusalem. He's looking over the city. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. They would not come under Jesus' wings. They would not take refuge in him. When he was on the cross, we can come under his arms because he was taking the punishment for the evil that we have done. He was taking the punishment for our sins. Old Testament, Genesis 15:1. Abram had just won a battle, and what was he afraid of? He was afraid of the enemy coming back. He went up against a bunch of kings. God helped him beat him up, and he was like, God help him stay away now. It says this, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram, he later became Abraham, in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. So how do we think this through? I mean, the truth of the matter is that many followers of Jesus, many people with great, great faith, suffer at the hands of enemies and die of diseases. Some people say all we need to do is claim the promises of God. Claim the promise of Psalm 91. What do we need to do then? Throw safety out? Throw precaution to the wind? No, not at all. I think it means that whether we know it or not, we are often saved from these dangers. You see, only in eternity will we know how many times we were delivered from visible and invisible enemies. We will never know that here. Never know that here. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Some verses say the punishment of the wicked. So here he's saying people are going to be dying all around you, but not you. Some say this means that the people of God will never die in battle. But again, many, many people of great faith have died in battle. So it can't possibly be a universal application. It must be that God is talking here, if we're going to try to make it somewhat universal, he's talking about eternal death, that God's enemies die, while at death, the true people of God will always be delivered. God's true people, who are they? He told us in verse 2, those who trust the Lord will not suffer those kinds of calamities as judgment for their sins. Now, all of this is closely tied to what we call God's providence. And that is, and when you think about it, it is pretty amazing. His miraculously ordering of events in the lives of his people. One time, many years ago, I got to dig it out somewhere, I chronicled I started with myself being a pastor, and I backtracked it all the way to my father reading an article in the newspaper. And how the steps along the way, I ended up going to a certain college. There was a housing crisis in the university. I went to Rutgers. There was a housing crisis there. Somebody came in who was assigned to us because it was an extra person who we didn't know, who introduced me to a friend, who when I started my company, they became a customer of mine, who they hired a college intern, and I met her, and I went out on a date with her, and she brought me to church, and I became a Christian. Just all of these bizarre events that God just sort of just weave them into my life. And God is doing that in all of our lives. And I think here, he uses the numbers 1,000 and 10,000, which means to us not to be concerned when you feel outnumbered, that God can easily beat 10,000 to one odds, that there is always hope. Why? Because there is no power greater than our God. Our part in it is simply to obey him and trust him. Verse 9, because you have made, another version says, if you make, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Another version says, near your tent. So there you have it again. So I perceive this to be an invitation from the Bible writer to all of us to make his refuge and his dwelling place, who is the Lord, our own refuge and our own dwelling place. Now, if you want to do that, you simply need to just put your trust in him. Does that mean nothing bad will ever happen to you? No. If that were the case, the whole world would be Christians. The whole world would be. People would claim to be followers of Jesus for selfish reasons. And sadly, in a lot of circles, it is. A lot of people are supposedly following Jesus because they just want to be rich. When God's people, I always say this to the guys here, the hardest part for me as a pastor is to convince God's people how rich they really are. Not rich in necessarily money here on earth, but certainly in inheritance. But there are a lot of people that are chasing after earthly wealth or health, and boy, as quick as they come in the front door, they leave out the back door when they say it didn't work for them. It's terrible. So the Lord is the psalmist's refuge, which means that he knows that anything that happens to him, listen to this, if God is your refuge, that means that anything that happens to you, you are still under the Lord's protective care. It seems similar to what came before, but here it seems like there is a condition on God's special protection. You and I have to individually make the Lord our dwelling place. Once again, let's get this right. This is a lot more than just saying, I believe. Really, the word believe in the Bible really more has the connotation of trust. For us, believe is a head thing, but when we say we trust in the Lord, it is with every fiber of our being. It is the essence of who we are. And so we have to trust him. Dwelling in him is staying close to him, even if you don't know what's going on. It's saying, God, I don't know what's going on, and Habakkuk's going to take us there. It's coming, but he's not there yet. He's got some things he's got to sort out. That's so cool. We get to listen to him sort them out. But to dwell close with the Lord, to dwell with the Lord, to say he is your refuge, to say he is my God, means that you're still going to stay close to him when you don't know what's going on. In other words, you're not going to run away from home. You're not going to be like, that's it, I'm out of here, I can't take this place anymore. No, because you're committed to him because he committed himself to you by giving his son to you on the cross. To experience this special protection. Now, again, a lot of times it's not necessarily just physical. It's you're actually feeling confident in the Lord in the midst of great difficulty. It means resting in God. Not just saying you are. Sometimes you hear people say, well, you just need to trust the Lord in this. And they're like, I am! That's not very convincing. No. It's actually resting in him. Not saying that you do, not acting like you do, but actually trusting him in the midst of your difficulty. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over you. Another version says orders over you to keep you. Another version says guard. Another says protect. To keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone or strike your foot against a stone. Early in Jesus' ministry, Jesus, remarkable thing. For 30 years he lives in relative obscurity. We don't know how many times he was tempted by the devil, but we do know that he lived in perfect 24/7 trust to his heavenly Father. He obeyed his parents. He was a carpenter. Some people think it was woodwork. Some people think it was stonework, but he was a faithful worker. He goes and gets baptized by John the Baptist, and God says, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. He's done, nobody knows who he is. God knows. God knows who you are. And then all of a sudden, it's time to hit the stage of human history. I mean, front and center, here's Jesus. So God sends him out to the wilderness. And guess who shows up? The devil. And so early in his ministry, Satan says to Jesus, hey, I know you got to walk everywhere. Come with me, man. You're not going to have to walk when you're with me. So he takes him up to the top of the temple and he says to him, hey, Jesus, why don't you take a jump off the top of the temple here? And you know what he did? He quoted Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. Let's read it again. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You can just picture it. Come on, Jesus, man. This is your chance. Trust your heavenly Father to rescue you. You're not going to get hurt. You're not going to get hurt at all. Jesus, this is your opportunity to claim Psalm 91 for yourself. Oh, do you know it, Jesus? Maybe you skipped that one in school when you were growing up. Sadly, again, a common application of this psalm is that the Lord has promised unconditional security in every circumstance. But the Lord Jesus didn't take the bait. He knew that would be presumptuous. He knew that would be tempting God. Remember what Jesus prayed? Many of us grew up saying it all the time in church. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Satan wants Jesus to make his will Well, and he wants us to make our will into God's will. A lot of people do that when they tell, oh, well, God told me. Be very careful of that. Be very careful of that. So he's trying to get Jesus to do his own thing, not what God has for him. He's making promises to Jesus of an easy way to be king without going to the cross. And those temptations are going to come our way. There's always going to be what seems to be the easier way out. But they're not. See, here's the reality, loved ones, and you can take this one to the bank. No matter what happens in your life here on earth, God's will for your life will be accomplished. It will be. So keep trusting, keep walking, keep obeying him. And once again, our guaranteed security is not always in bodily safety and not always in healing. We are secure in God's love. And I can tell you, while I'm not perfect at it for sure, but one thing I have seen more and more in my life over the years, it certainly helped me to worry a lot less and to enjoy certain things a lot more. How? How do you do that? By trusting him and loving him. And back in verse 9, the point is that seeking the Lord is what provides the greatest security. That's how we move from verse 9, from trusting him to no evil, no plague, to be guarded by angels, plural. Confidence is also in where we are guarded here. He says we are guarded in our, verse 10, our dwelling. Where's that? In our tent, in our homes, and in all your ways. Now, those are promises that for God to be with you is a very, very common promise in the Bible for everyone who follows Jesus. For us not to worry, not to be anxious, not to be afraid, very, very common promise for all of us. Yet Jesus shows us right here that God's promises, or God's, more specifically, God's protections, does not cancel out human responsibility to act responsibly. So he's not going to take that leap and see if the angels grab him. Does that mean that everything will always be okay if you're responsible? Not necessarily. But certainly responsibility can help lessen fear. Responsibility, at the very least, will remind us that we're not tempting God and we're doing our best to walk in his will. Very interesting. Satan's temptation was one that a lot of us, if we're not careful, can really give into in a variety of ways. Basically, a lot of people don't believe in God because of suffering. Because they've bought into the lie that if there is a God, you wouldn't suffer. Or if he was a good God, you wouldn't suffer. But when Satan tempted Jesus, he left out an important part of verse 11, where it says in Psalm 91, in all your ways. Not Jesus, in all your rebellious ways, in all your ways. Not in yours and mine rebellious ways, but in our ways. There is the way that God has for us, and there is the way that we have for us. If you're not a follower of Jesus, or I know a lot of times people talk to you about being a sinner, and you're like, I'm not really a sinner. And then you compare yourself to other people. You compare yourself to other people. We all do it. But the essence of sin is there's the way that God has for us and there's the way that we have for us. And we go our own way. And that is the essence of sin. And Satan basically just says this to Jesus. Jesus, choose your way. Choose your way. God said he would do it. You're his son. He loves you. He's not going to let you. He's not going to let you fall down and stub your toe. So go ahead, take a leap. Again, God's way was the way of the cross. Not claiming some promise that was not meant for Jesus. Claiming a promise of God that's not necessarily meant for us is actually the opposite of trusting God. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't say, Lord, please protect me from this pandemic. Keep praying that and keep praying that and keep praying that. But God forbid you get it, or I get it, God forbid. But if it happens, won't you be glad if you've been armed with Psalm 91? Won't you be glad if you say, this is what I need to focus on. I need to focus on trusting the Lord, making him my shelter, my shield, my defense, my refuge. I need to come under his wings, and I need to be responsible. I need to do what I'm supposed to do. Satan's invitation was not to realize the promises of God. Satan's invitation was to presumptive arrogance. And that's why Jesus replied to him, Deuteronomy 6:16, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Satan also left out, conveniently, verse 13, you shall tread upon, not you might, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. So what are two things that we refer to Satan in the Bible? A lion, strong, and a serpent, sneaky. The idea here is that the faithful don't merely survive. We will trample evil. We will win. And we will win in the next life. But you know what? I think we can win in this life too. Because here on this earth, we are tempted to sin. These days, we are tempted to be less trustful of God. We are tempted to wallow in self-pity, forgetting that God sends help. God sends angels. You see, Satan said to Jesus, jump off the temple and the angels will swoop you up. But that was not God's will for Jesus, so he didn't do it. It tells us in the scriptures that when Jesus was in God's will, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before the cross, what did God do? He sent angels to strengthen Jesus. And you can bank on that, loved ones. When you and I are in God's will, he will send strength to us. He will send help. And that help is meant to strengthen us and to follow the ways of the Lord, not ourselves, not the way of ourselves, and not temptation. Well, that takes us to number three. The promise of faith, the promise of faith, the psalmist is no longer speaking. Now the Lord is going to speak. Verse 14, notice how many times he says, I, because he, who's he? The one who has put their trust in the Lord, because he has set his love upon me. So the person who trusts the Lord now has set their love upon God. God's love is set upon them, their love is set upon God. Therefore, I will deliver him or rescue him. I will set him on high. The idea is above the trouble because he has known my name.
You've been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel, Morris Hills in Dover, New Jersey. Our hope and prayer is that all of our listeners would grow into committed followers of Jesus Christ. And we're overjoyed to play whatever role we can in helping you mature in your faith. Would you like to know more about us? Maybe you'd like to pass this message on to a friend or family member. If so, go to our website at www.changedbyloveradio.com. Maybe you have a question or need some guidance. We don't want to replace your pastor, but we are here to help. It's so easy to contact us. All you have to do is call, click, or write. Our phone number is 973-659-3380. That's 973-659-3380. Our email address is info@changedbyloveradio.com. And our mailing address is Changed by Love, 158 West Clinton Street, Dover, New Jersey, 07801. Once again, that is Changed by Love, 158 West Clinton Street, Dover, New Jersey, 07801. You may be surprised to know how excited Pastor Jim and the Changed by Love radio team are to hear from you. In fact, it's common for Pastor Jim to pass on your encouragement to the congregation here in New Jersey, since we consider all our listeners part of our family. That's all the time we have for today. Our sincere hope and desire is that you will join us again next time on this radio station as we continue teaching the Word of the Lord. We here at Changed by Love pray God's best to each and every one of you today. Until next time.